So let's turn to John then, and chapter 10. And this morning we are looking at something that Jesus describes, or rather John, I suppose, describes as an illustration. So if you look at John 10 and verse 6, we read there, Jesus used this illustration. And that's a very strange Greek word. It can mean story, or parable, or an account that you don't take literally. It's got lots of different meanings. It just so happens that tonight we're also going to look at an illustration or a parable, if you like. Tonight we're going to look at one of the most difficult parables, if you wish, that Jesus ever said. It's the story of a rich man and a homeless man, two men, both of whom die. One then goes to be in Abraham's bosom, the poor man. And then the rich man, we are told, goes to hell. And we then focus in what Jesus says on the experience of the rich man. As he is in hell, we are told what he sees, what he feels, what he says. But it's an illustration. So that's tonight. This morning is an illustration about sheep and about shepherds. So we're going to look at this illustration. I want to try to lay it out for you in the way that John would have us read it, and then to get from it the main thrust of what Jesus is saying. So John 10, let's read from verse 11 again, down as far as verse 18. So this is John 10 and verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hired man, he who is not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. This hired man does this because of just that. He's hired and he does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they too will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. This is why my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it again. And this authority I have from my Father. So let's ask God then to help us as we turn to this word. Lord, we are not used to listening maybe for a long time. We ask that you'd help us to do that. It's like listening to nothing else, to listen to a sermon. Lord, we don't need our ordinary ears. We don't need our usual brain when it comes to trying to listen to the word of God being preached. Lord, it's an activity that we can only do with the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. So we ask that he would do that, grant that to each of us here, that we might be able to hear, listen, understand, that we might be able to receive, that we might be able to respond to the word of God as we now hear it together. So our God, we commend ourselves to you then in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's do a recap then. We are looking at John's Gospel. It's the last book to have been written in the Bible. As you know, it's not placed last, but nonetheless, it's the last book that was written. And the theme of the book is the fatherhood of God. God as our Heavenly Father. And if you can think back 2 weeks, we said that in John's Gospel, there are a number of phrases to look out for. So 2 weeks ago, we said you can look out for the phrase, no one. And no one is repeated throughout the Gospel. No one has seen God at any time. 3 times, we are told just that. So no one is one of the important phrases, as is what sounds like the opposite, which is the phrase, whoever. So John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish. What I want to do this morning is add a third phrase, and it's the phrase, I am. So I am, no one, and whoever make up, if you like, the structure of John's gospel. And in chapter 10, you'll see all three. We see I am statements made by Jesus. We'll see Jesus then talk about no one. And then we'll have the whoever. And as we look at that this morning, we're going to pull that together to help us build our understanding of God as our Heavenly Father. So turn with me then to John chapter 10. And do you see there are three I am statements made by Jesus? This is the first, John 10 verse 7. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. That's the first. Then go down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And then as you turn to verse 14, you get a repetition of the second statement, I am the good shepherd. So I am the door, and then two statements of I am the good shepherd. Now, some of you will know that when you get repetition like that, what you're meant to do is you're meant to take each of those statements and make them a heading. And then you go down the verses and you create a column. And you do that for each of the statements. Then you look at them together and you see what they have in common and you see what their differences are. So if you do that, then the first column starts in verse 7 with I am the door, and it goes down as far as verse 10. So there's your first block of verses. Then your second column, take a look, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. You put that there, and it goes down as far as verse 13. There's a little column in the middle. And then as you go across to verse 14, you get, I am the good shepherd. And that column, if you look at your Bibles, it goes down as far as verse 18. So you've got three columns then, side by side, each beginning with a statement made by Jesus, I am. So what I want you to do, just quickly, we won't do it in detail, and we may do it in more detail at another stage. If you look at each of those statements, you'll see in them Jesus telling us something, not just about I am, but he's saying something else. So for example, if you look at the first, he says, I am the door, verse 7, and you go down there and you see that he's telling us that he has come. He has come from somewhere, and he has come to do something. So can you see it then? I am the door, verse 7, and we got I am the door again in verse 9, and he says, I have come in verse 10. So you focus your thoughts on the fact that Jesus is telling us that he's come from somewhere, and he wants us to think about where he's come from, and he wants us to think about what it is that he wants to do. So that's the first then, verses 7 down to verse 10. Then if you look at verse 11, that little block, 11, 12 and 13, he says, I am the good shepherd, and he says that he has come so that he might know his sheep. His sheep is the focus of 11 to 13. So we'll read those again. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not the shepherd, when he sees the wolf coming, he runs because he doesn't own the sheep. He doesn't love the sheep. He doesn't know the sheep. That's the middle of those three verses then. He knows his sheep. And then, as you come to the third column, verse 14, you have a huge amount of detail there about him being the one who has come. He's the one who knows his sheep. And then in that block, he is the one who is going to give his life for the sheep. So that's the sequence, if you like. Each beginning with the I am statement, and then in the middle of each of those statements is a further message about Jesus. His purpose, he has come, who has he come for? He's come for the sheep. And what is he going to do for the sheep? He is going to lay down his life for them. So here is this parable, this illustration then, of a shepherd who is willing to sacrifice his life for the sheep that he has come for. So what I want to do then, before we go any further, is just add a little bit to that about what Jesus says about his Father. So if you've got your Bibles there and you're looking at these verses and you're seeing that first little column, verses 7 down to 10, then you see the second, 11 to 13, and then the final one, verse 14 onwards. If you look at that, where's all the teaching from Jesus about his Father? Where is it? And you'll see it, won't you? You'll see it in that third column. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. They know me. And then he says, my Father knows me. And for me, the great challenge here is trying to understand the relationship between the Father and the shepherd and the sheep. And sometimes I think we miss that. We focus so much on the Good Shepherd, quite rightly. We think about Jesus as our Good Shepherd. We think about his relationship with his sheep. But the background is very much about the Father, God the Father. Who is God the Father? And if you don't mind, I'd like just to say a little bit about that as we look at these verses together. To do that, we need to go to verse 25 and read as far as verse 30. I might not read it again. You may have it in front of you. You can read it for yourself. From verse 25 to verse 30 of John 10, Jesus talks about his Father who is God. And he tells us that God the Father has given him something. In fact, let's read it again. Verse 25, I told you, so he's talking to his critics, these people who are saying, Jesus, you're talking in riddles. Why don't you just talk simply and plainly to us? You're not making sense, Jesus. He speaks to them and he says, I have told you, and you do not believe me. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. So there he is talking about his Father. You do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And here's the verse I want you to notice. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one, so there's your no one statement, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. What's Jesus telling us? He's telling us something that you may have a problem with. He's telling us something that some of you may rejoice in. He's saying very simply that God, his Father, has given to him the sheep. He gave to Jesus the flock. So the Father is the one who owns the flock, and the Father has entrusted the flock to his Son, Jesus Christ, that his Son, Jesus Christ, might be their shepherd. So this flock has been chosen by God himself and given to his Son, Jesus Christ. There are those then, men and women, who are the flock whom God has chosen. And then there are men and women who do not belong to the flock whom God has chosen for his Son. There are those who are, and there are those who are not. And Jesus is very clearly telling us that in these verses. Those critics that you've seen in the middle of the chapter, that they're in Jerusalem, it's the Feast of Dedication, there's Jesus in the temple, and all these people surround him, he's got all the people there crushing around him, and they're saying, come on, tell us, are you really Jesus the Christ? And as he speaks to them, he's saying, you're not understanding me because you are not a sheep whom my Father has chosen. You do not belong to my flock. Now that sounds harsh, maybe. It might sound uncomfortable, but it's a teaching that we cannot escape in terms of these verses. God the Father chose. And he chose the flock. He did so in eternity. He chose in the past, if you want to use the word past. He chose the flock before he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into our world. So when you look at verse 7 down to verse 10, whatever it is, and Jesus says, I have come. Jesus has come for that flock whom God had chosen and given to him in eternity. He has come for his sheep. So I guess what you and I need to think about is this. Am I one of the sheep in the flock of Jesus Christ? Is that true for me? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he's the one who says he's come for us. He's the one who says, I know you. He's the one who says, I am laying down my life for you. So this passage gives us a wonderful picture of Jesus Christ and his relationship to his sheep. And as we think about that together, we are then thinking about the flock itself, because Jesus talks about that. He says, I have sheep who belong not to the right now, to the moment I'm now in, but they will stretch throughout all the centuries. There will be sheep in every age, in every nation, every culture, every period of history. They will be my sheep. My Father chose them, selected them, and then, if you like, he scatters them throughout history and time, and he's then entrusted Jesus to be their shepherd, and he's going to gather them, and he's going to bring them into one flock, and he shall be one shepherd. This is what Jesus is telling us. So, how can we think about ourselves as sheep? And if you look at the verses, can you see how clear it is? Jesus is saying that his sheep hear his voice. And we don't really need to. I got no intention of going into all the stuff about shepherds and what they were like in Israel and what's the, you know, the usual thing. Let's leave that to one side. What Jesus says is this. You were a sheep from eternity. You were a sheep chosen by God. And then there comes a moment in your life where you hear the shepherd's voice. You might be young or old. You might hear it from a preacher like me. You might hear it from a friend. You might read the Bible itself. And there comes this point where hearing the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is evidence that you are and have always been amongst the flock whom God chose and gave to his son Jesus. So there's a sense in which then you're sheep first and then you hear. And when you hear, you follow. You recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. And in recognizing his voice, you respond to his voice and you become a follower of his. Don't forget that this is the teaching of Jesus. So you don't hear his voice and become a sheep. You're a sheep and you hear his voice. Yet that's who you are, because that is what God has made you. That's the God who has chosen you. And so you're placed in this world from the beginning of your life as a sheep. And then at some point in the course of your life, the shepherd's voice will address you, and you will hear, and you will respond. That's what Jesus is emphasizing. So these crowds, you've got them from verse 19 down to verse 24, people of Jerusalem, there they are in the temple. They are not responding. They are not listening. They're not hearing because they are not sheep. And that's very clearly what Jesus is driving home to us and to his audience. So, are we sheep? Do we hear his voice? And the voice that we recognize is a voice that uniquely belongs to our good shepherd. We don't hear any other voice. So Jesus made that clear earlier. He talks about false shepherds, people who've come before him, religious leaders, even in the Jewish tradition. They've come and they've tried to influence people, and the sheep don't listen. The sheep don't hear. And they don't hear because that shepherd is not the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. But when his voice is heard, we respond because we are sheep. Jesus then talks about his Father. His Father has given the sheep to his Son. And if you look at verse 29, hear again what Jesus says. My Father, that's God, his Father, who has given them to me. So there might be a sense in which, if you're able to, try to put your thoughts into eternity. Try to imagine God the Father and God the Son. And God the Father gives to God the Son a flock. And he does so in eternity. And so then, having given this flock to his Son, his Son, Jesus Christ, comes from heaven, and he comes and he takes on our nature, and he lives amongst us. He speaks and works and performs miracles and signs, already having the flock given to him by God. He has come for them, and he has come to be their good shepherd. Now listen again to verse 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And hear then, everyone, for those who are sheep, listen to what Jesus says. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. It's the idea then that it's impossible, if you are a sheep of Jesus Christ, it's impossible for you to be stolen. It's impossible for you to be snatched. This word snatch, it's a great word. It's a word that is used for the end times, when we read about believers being snatched up or caught up into the air. There is no power, no force, no person, no sin that is able to remove you from the hand of the God who has chosen you to be his, and who has given you to his Son. It's an absolute statement about which there can be no debate. It is not possible for you to be lost. So there's the no one statement in verse 29. But did you notice it builds on the statement in verse 28? I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So you have here what's called a double reinforcement. You have a double statement of truth, that you can't as a sheep be snatched from the hand of God, and neither can you be snatched from the hand of your shepherd. There's an impossibility. So of course, what you then start thinking about is this wolf. Who's the wolf that Jesus mentions? He talks about the man who's been hired for the day, and he's there. He's not the good shepherd. He's in charge of the flock, and he sees the wolf coming, and he runs, and he lets the wolf do his worst. The wolf comes into the flock, scatters the sheep. That's because Jesus says he's hired. So who's the wolf then? this wolf that can come and snatch a sheep out of the fold, maybe from the pasture, from the care of the shepherd. That is who Jesus has in mind as the one who has the potential to snatch, to catch, to bite, and to take away. Now, I'm not going to answer this for you. I want you to try and work out from this illustration, who do you think the wolf is? Who is he? How does he feature in this whole illustration? I want you to work that out, come to your conclusion. But can I add this? Why doesn't the good shepherd, Jesus, why doesn't he kill the wolf? Why does he talk about laying down his life? You would think, wouldn't you, that a good shepherd would seek to kill the wolf, that that would be his role. But instead, you're going to have this good shepherd who is going to lay down his life for his flock. And if he's doing that, then what's going to happen to the wolf? But what's going to happen to the sheep? If they a good shepherd lays down his life, will they be without a shepherd then? How does that work out for them? So I'm asking you to think about the wolf. How do you identify him? Where does he feature in this illustration? And why would the good shepherd lay down his life? Listen to what he says, verse 17 and 18. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it again. And this I have from my Father. So the good shepherd is going to lay down his life. He's going to lay down his life voluntarily and freely. No one will take it away from him. So he's going to choose to lay down his life. But what we know is that he's going to then take his life back. He's going to rise again. He's going to return to life as the good shepherd. And this is what his Father wants him to do. His Father wants him, as the good shepherd, both to lay down his life for the sheep and to take his life again. So you may think, well, it's no wonder these guys in Jerusalem didn't understand what he was saying. This is difficult to understand. So let me bring you back to the fact that if you're a sheep, you will hear his voice. You will recognize what Jesus says. You don't necessarily understand what he says, but you recognize it. You hear it, and you hear it as the voice of the good shepherd. And so you respond to his voice. You respond willingly and freely. You respond as one who wishes to follow, to go where he goes, to be led by him. Don't think that if I don't understand this, I can't be a sheep. Don't think that. Jesus isn't emphasizing the fact that you understand what he says. He's emphasizing the fact that you hear and recognize that this is the voice of your shepherd. So I'm going to draw things together and bring things to a close. This passage then presents us with a God who is the Father of the shepherd. And the God who is the Father of the shepherd has given his Son a flock. And it's the most important thing for any of us to think about here at this point, is do we belong to that flock? If we do, we have a good shepherd. On Wednesday, maybe we'll look at the Old Testament background. If you're not able to attend on Wednesday, let me point you to Ezekiel and chapter 34, and you can look at that chapter, and you can see the background to what Jesus teaches you. Very much so, I think, Jesus is thinking of Ezekiel 34 when he gives us this illustration. He's emphasizing the fatherhood of God, the father of the shepherd who says to the shepherd, I'll give you a flock. You must lay down your life for them. And then I will give you the authority, the power to take your life back. And this flock that I give you, no one, nothing can take them from my hand, and no one and nothing can take them from yours. So there's the security of the sheep. There is the certainty for the sheep of the fact that you will forever be in that relationship with the shepherd and with the Father. But let's commend ourselves to God.